What's up, Notre Dame fans? Mike Singer from Blue and Gold, recruiting guy, YouTube guy, podcast guy with our football guy, Tim Hyde. I'm excited about this show. Tim was running around today. He just got home a few minutes ago before we started recording. I was in South Georgia today, seeing some Notre Dame targets. South Georgia, Central Georgia. It wasn't in the Warner Robins Macon area. I guess that's South Georgia. But so, I'm fired up about today's show. I bet we're gonna have a lot of people be like, "Mike, Macon is not South Georgia." I'm sorry, I did not look at the map to see exactly, but it's south of Atlanta. So this is besides the point. Tim, you have a good day, man.
Oh, I had a great day. Great day. Beautiful weather in New England. Summer's here. Getting ready to get on the boat. Enjoy life. So here we go.
All right. People don't care about that though. We get comments on that. We're like, we don't care about your lives. Just talk about Notre Dame. So that's what we're gonna do.
We'll do it.
We'll just talk about Notre Dame. Yeah, so we're going to be a little heavy on recruiting talk today. Today's show might go a little bit shorter, but if you guys have questions, drop them now. We'll get to them throughout the show. Definitely drop a super chat. We'll get to it right away. If you're listening back on you or watching back on YouTube, appreciate you guys. Hit the thumbs up on this video. Subscribe to our channel if you have not yet. And $1 for 1 year premium access over at blueandgold.com, still the deal of the year. We moved over to the On3 network from Rivals January 1st, and that deal's still going on. So make sure you get it while it still is still going. If you're listening via podcast, appreciate you guys as well. Make sure to leave us a kind review wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we hope we're making your drive to work better. I'm guessing that's what most people are doing, listen to podcasts, right?
Yep. Early morning and traffic hour. There you go.
So we'll skip the best or the thing you're drinking right now. I'm drinking water. Tim, I'm guessing you're just drinking a beer.
A little one of those, a little water, getting everything, getting organized here.
Yeah, my stomach's not, I had a lunch that's not making my stomach feel great, so I'm just drinking water. Best thing you've seen this week is our number one segment. What is the best thing you've seen this week, Tim, since our last show last Wednesday?
Well, the best thing I thought was the coolest thing, because Marcus Freeman kind of mentioned it a couple times during his Chris Zorich interview, was Chris Zorich mentioned it, like, because he kept saying head coach, and it's like, no, I'm the Dick Corbett head football coach, and here he was, what, a day or two ago, went down and met the man who was funding that name on his door right there. I just thought it was awesome. And this goes into Marcus Freeman, the NCAA rule head coaches aren't allowed to go see recruits. So Marcus Freeman is going to go visit the guys that are funding the program. And he's crisscrossing the country, going to a ton of alumni organizations. My wife was one of the board directors for 5 years in Los Angeles. I know he's going out there here in a couple weeks. So he's crisscrossing the country, saying hello to all those that matter behind the scenes. I think it's pretty cool.
I mean, it's like the guy's a glutton for punishment almost. It's like, man, just play some golf. I guess he doesn't want to. He was in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Yeah. And I bet part of that's his good buddy, BJ Payne. Sure. Jalen Snead's head coach is down there. So there's a picture of those two on Twitter. But yeah, it's like, man, he's not allowed to recruit during the spring evaluation period. It's just assistant coaches, but the guy just has to be doing something. Or, I'm sure he loves his kids, but he's got a lot of them, and I'm sure he doesn't mind, going down to Tampa and Hilton Head, South Carolina. There's worse places to be. So
he was doing a live interview on one of the Notre Dame channels today on their, talking about Notre Dame. I haven't seen it yet. I just saw a quick little blurb on there, so I'll go back and listen. But no, he's everywhere. He's definitely not traveling the world playing golf, unlike some past Notre Dame coaches.
Who, Tim? Who are you talking about?
Well, I mean, one of them was, Mike Goolsbee was coached by the famous one, Mr. Willingham. Yeah. And obviously the gentleman down there in Baton Rouge is famous for that as well.
Yeah. I mean, Marcus Freeman, he gets after it. So, yeah, for maybe some folks who don't really know the Dick Corbett, who he is, like Tim said, he sponsors like, why is Marcus Freeman the Dick Corbett head football coach? Money. Money is the short answer. But you know, on the screen here on YouTube, you guys can see he's a Notre Dame grad with an MBA from Harvard. That's pretty impressive. Real estate investor and developer, served as the presidential aide in the John F. Kennedy administration. Wow. Witnessed the assassination in 60. I mean, it's crazy. So Dick Corbett, quite literally a living legend. So that's Tim's best thing he saw this week. For me, this is pretty great. Have you watched this, Tim?
No, I saw it real quick on Twitter because I've been out and about running around, and I'm dying to hear what is it both brothers? Because I know they were there a week or two ago doing some stuff for their shows.
Yeah, so we're gonna pop this on Notre Dame. If you're watching this, you don't need to cancel the show over this. This is Notre Dame's property. I mean, I hope they're okay with me playing it on YouTube and for a podcast audience, because it's pretty awesome. So, is what it is. Here we go.
The best teams I played on, our best players practice the hardest every day. They set the example every day. They were sitting in meetings, taking notes, paying attention. Our young players are like, holy cow, this is how they do it here, right? I'm gonna take notes. I'm gonna pay attention. We got on the practice field full speed. I mean, taking snaps full speed, walkthroughs. Everybody's intense, right? I mean, we're calling audibles like it's a game. And to me, that just sets the tone. But I think, you know, talented players that are unselfish and set the example in the building as to what it's going to take to be a Notre Dame football player, I think that's critical.
You got guys that want to do it for your teammates, right? When our first championship, I wanted to win a championship for Michael Strahan. Like, that was my goal. He was our leader. He was at every practice. He brought it, you know, he encouraged us. He motivated us. 15 years in the NFL, never won a Super Bowl. He's there. Like, you want to go in that final 2-minute drive to win a championship for him. But you have that for every player. The second one, you know, hey, I wanted to win a championship for Victor Cruz and Akeem Nix and Mario Manningham. These guys had never won one. Like, you want to go out there. You want them to have that feeling. Afterwards, they wanted to, you know, win one for me, so I have one more than my brother. So, like, all that, you know, comes together. You have a reason, and it's not just about you, right? It's not just about you. You have players that are unselfish. They want to do it for other people because they've seen how hard they work, the commitment, the motivation, everything they've done to try to win a championship, and it inspires. And that's contagious. That feeling's contagious. When the whole team has it, they have other people they want to win for. That's when you get great things.
So. That's awesome. Yeah, for podcast audience, I don't know if we actually said who that was. Obviously, YouTube could see it. That was Peyton Manning at the beginning there and Eli Manning. They were in South Bend shooting something for ESPN Plus. But pretty cool. Manning brothers, I mean, they're awesome. Especially as a Dolphins fan, you know, Eli Manning holds a special place in my heart you know, beating the Patriots in a couple Super Bowls. So do appreciate him for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Talking about those Super Bowls, obviously my wife's from Boston. And you can still remember those things. But you know what? Justin Tuck, great Notre Dame player, was on the other side getting Super Bowl rings. So that wasn't too bad. Yeah, that's two less for a Michigan guy. So it's always a positive somewhere.
There you go. Before we dive into some Notre Dame defensive line recruiting talk, Tim, we had a really cool Twitter space last week. So if you're not familiar with what that is, we're up live on YouTube right now. And you can go live essentially on Twitter, but it's just audio. And I can see like who's listening. And we had Derek Hamilton, the father of Kyle Hamilton, just kind of pop on there. And he was listening. I saw that he was listening. So I invited him to speak, and he was sitting poolside in Dallas, and asked him, why are you in Dallas? And he said, because it's Cinco de Mayo week. And I was like, I guess when your son is picked number 14 in the NFL draft, you can just go to Dallas for a couple days and hang out by the pool and drink margarita. So he was like, man, when I'm finished this margarita, I gotta go. But I'll hang out with you guys before then. So that was pretty cool. So Tim, did any thoughts, you know, and, you know, he talked a lot about NIL, and then there's been a lot of NIL in the news here lately. So this is something that when we prepared our show, which Tim and I do a lot of preparing for this show, I will say it's hours and hours. I'm joking. It's minutes and minutes. We just kind of text and I lay out a quick outline and then that's about it. So Tim, what was it that you kind of want to talk about with NIL and what Derek Hamilton had to say?
Well, I love that, you know, Mr. Hamilton came on and spent what 10, 15 minutes with us talking about it. Like you said, he spent a long period talking about the name, image, likeness. And the one thing I know Notre Dame fans out there, they, you know, they hear about the craziness at so many of these SEC schools and what's happening in Oregon, Nike and all that. And they think Notre Dame's not doing nothing. Well, Notre Dame is doing a ton behind the scenes. What Mr. Hamilton came on to say was Notre Dame is one of the elite brand names. You know, there's the Cowboys, the Yankees, Notre Dame. I mean, there's some brand names. And when you're at Notre Dame, if you're playing and if you're a guy, you're going to get taken care of, just like obviously Kyle did and his buddies did with the show, with the podcast that they started and did. Isaiah Foskey. I mean, there's a ton of Notre Dame people that they're just not public. You're just not hearing about them, but are being taken care of when it comes on the name, image, likeness and whatnot. So it was a great interview. If people could go back, listen to it on Twitter. I really enjoyed it because of what's going on, as we know, of high school guys getting contracts, which is not the intent of name, image, likeness. It's for a college player, once you get rolling. So the fact that he broke it down, you know, he didn't get into all the particulars, but he said Notre Dame is very, very well organized of what's happening behind the scenes. So it's going to be fascinating with all this stuff coming on, because Notre Dame's just sitting back. We're taking care of our guys. You guys out there doing all your stuff, you know, it's all going to come, you know, big giant circle eventually here.
Yeah. Part of me was like, because when he popped on there, it's not like I had questions prepared for him. I was just kind of, what was draft night like? You know, just kind of come up with whatever. And he brought up NIL. And one question I did want to ask him was be like, how much money did Kyle make in NIL? I would love to know. I'm not going to ask him that. And I didn't. But like, I mean, we talking five figures, six figures. I would love to know, but I'm not. That's none of my business. So I'm not going to ask, but.
Yeah, it keeps being reported like those guys did make a chunk. I mean, it's Colin Cowherd. It's his right. You know, platform and whatnot. So
yeah,
I'm sure those guys made, you know, some hundreds of thousands because it's a national show. Oh,
you think so?
Oh, God, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Why? Sure. Sure. I would not be surprised. I don't see them getting 15,000. I mean, once again, but when people were out there saying it was a significant amount that these guys were taking care of, because this show is going to keep going. So it's going to be, that's what it sounds like. I mean, Kyle's obviously in the NFL. It sounds like the other guys might get on, or is it going to just be the garage? Who's the next batch of Notre Dame guys to move into that house and take it over?
KJ Wallace is gone.
He's gone. Exactly. So, but there was some, I thought I read that recently where it's going to continue. However, that is with Cam Hart, Rattigan, are they going to get two more guys? Who knows?
Yeah.
So it'll certainly be fascinating to see.
So if you're not able to go back, you'd have to go back from last Thursday on Twitter to find it. Otherwise, Ashton Pollard, who does a fantastic job at Blue and Gold, she wrote stories based on what Mr. Hamilton had to say. And we also had Sam Pendleton on and Chris Zorich, who interviewed Marcus Freeman. And then I think it's tomorrow, has that that event where Zorich is going to interview Marcus Freeman. So some pretty cool stuff.
The Rockne Dinner in Chicago, which is an annual event.
And we'll have that same Twitter space tomorrow. I already have two names that I'm pretty excited about lined up for it. And Tim, you're joining me, right?
Oh, I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so these YouTube shows, it's Tim and I. We have a game plan, right? The variable in these YouTube shows and the podcast, you know, Podlike Champion, questions, super chats, and bad internet. The Twitter space is all variables. There's no plan. Like, I have some plans, like questions I might ask some guests, but otherwise, I mean, we might just be like, all right, let's just open it up to Q&A for, and we can invite listeners to ask a question. Like, we can kind of do, we can do anything. Yeah. So yeah, I think Thursday at 5, I think I got a function at 6:30, and Tim, you've got something, quarter till. So make sure you kick me off whenever, you have to go. But all right. Couple comments I wanted to get to real quick. Josh says, I'd like to say thanks for the content and say that Tim is my favorite Notre Dame analyst. His honesty and authentic opinion is great. Thanks again, guys. Well, Josh, I disagree with you.
Cheers, Josh. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
That may be my brother in Austin. I got to check that.
That no super chat, but it deserved it. And Jeff says, thanks for all the content you guys put out. You do a really great job. Fins up. Yeah, hey, go Dolphins. Not feeling great about the Dolphins. My neighborhood pest guy who comes out and sprays, you know, he's talking to me. He's a Dolphins fan. I'm like, man, I got to go to work. I don't really want to talk about the Dolphins. He's all hyped up about Tua. I'm not a Tua guy. But let's get back to Notre Dame. And let's talk Notre Dame football recruiting specifically. Here's the question for you, Tim, because I know you've done some research on this. How does Notre Dame's current four-man defensive line class stack up against some past Irish defensive line classes? So let's take a look first at this defensive line class. Four commitments so far. Keon Keeley, number 9 player nationally, number 1 edge, which is, you know, a Viper, basically. Brennan Vernon, number 75 player, number 10 defensive lineman. On 3, a defensive lineman is a defensive tackle or nose guard. So that's per the On 3 consensus. Number 75 player nationally, number 10 defensive lineman. Brennan Vernon, 6'5", 280, big-time player. Really nice get for the Fighting Irish over Ohio State. Boubacar Traore just committed April 27th, number 117 player nationally, number 15 defensive lineman. And then Devin Houston, number 216 player nationally, number 28 defensive lineman. So Devin Houston, I feel like, Tim, in most recruiting classes for the Fighting Irish, he could be like the number one guy. You know, like if you put him in the 2020 class, he's like the same ranked as like Riley Mills, per the On3 consensus. So it's a pretty good group. So what does your research say about, you know, how good this defensive line class is?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, number-wise, it's obviously elite beyond elite. I mean, to say the least, when you got, you know, because, you know, this is just the rankings that are now, but, you know, you got 4 in the top 210, you got 3 in the top, you know, 110, you know, who's, you know, they're probably, 3 of those guys will probably be top 100 when it's all said and done, you know? So when you're looking at it, it's like, what is this, you know, the ultimate standard? I mean, I went back, here you go. I went back all the way back to these bad boys.
Nice.
I dug out the oldies and I went back and was reading, you know, all the old past classes, all back to Holtz. And
for podcast audience, Tim just held up a old blue and gold illustrated
and this
magazine.
This is the 1990 with the rocket on the cover there. And that class is elite beyond elite. When you take a look at those guys, all 4 guys went in the NFL, you know, they signed 4. You had the USA Today Defensive Player of the Year in Oliver Gibson, who was ended up being playing in the NFL for 9 seasons in the NFL. You had Jim Flanagan, who was a linebacker early, and then they moved him to D-line, third-round draft choice, played 10 years in the NFL, was also a Walter Mann, the NFL Man of the Year 1 year, which is fascinating. And then you had Brian Hamilton, who was a starter. He was USA Today All-American as well. And then you had Bryant Young, who's going into the NFL Hall of Fame. So these are the four D linemen. Obviously, those were the ringleaders on the great 93 team that went 11-1. And you know what? Just real quick, when is Notre Dame going to claim the 93 title? That's got to be a topic for down the road. If some of these schools claim them, Notre Dame needs to claim 93, but that's another topic. But then you got recently, you got 2011, 3 guys in the top 40 to it. Aaron Lynch, but Lynch transfers. Obviously, Ishaq Williams was highly ranked, but he was just always a guy, you know, yeah. Never a dude. And then real quick, you got 2016, which is just a lot of bodies. 4 guys got drafted. Dalen Hayes, Khalid Kareem, Julian Okoro, and you got Odie, was drafted that year. You know, but ranking-wise, Dalen Hayes was only in the 60s. The rest of them were high 170s, 200s. I mean, Jameer Jones, who's a free agent, was on that team. He was ranked 949 in the On3 consensus. So, you know, those are just some of the ones that are looking. I went with NFL guys, which is 2016. Obviously, the great number class, highly ranked class, is 2011. Outside of, you know, Stephon Tuitt, did they really – live up to potential, right. And then the 90 class is just, that's legendary. When you look at those four and the way they, obviously they all played team captains at Notre Dame, and 3 of them played 9+ years in the NFL, and you got a Hall of Famer. So this class is going to be really, really good when it's all said and done.
Yeah, so you're looking at potentially the best Notre Dame defensive line class in 33 years.
Exactly.
And I wish Loose Emoji were here to see this thing.
Yes.
I mean, the YouTube video, Tim, I love you talking Notre Dame history, but you ain't Lou, and I'm not Lou. No one is Lou. There's only one Loose Emoji, and he talks so much about, that was the position that Notre Dame just couldn't recruit big time at, that position. And now it's, what would you say that position is now, Tim? Like that, for a while, it's defensive line. Notre Dame just could not get those big time guys. That's not the case anymore. Could you say quarterback? Could you say running back, receiver, cornerback? I feel like it's got to be one of those, right?
When you're going number wise, when you're going recruiting numbers, you're going, the On3, you're going consensus, and you go back over this. It's corner. Corner is Loose Emoji used to call the DN, the great white whale that they couldn't get. It's corner. It's an elite corner that Notre Dame has not signed those in a long time. They've had some good ones. They've had some guys in the pros, but they've all been in the 300s, the high 2s, that.
When's the last time Notre Dame got a top 100 corner?
Off top of my head, I would say a guy who lasted 30 days on campus, T. Shepherd. What was that? Was he on the 2011, 2012?
If you just kind of want to ramble here, Tim, I can look it up.
T. Shepherd was, he was premier, one of the premier corners in America, but he got to Notre Dame and he, some academic issues with his transcripts and whatnot. And he was gone within 30 days. Before that, you had, Gary Gray, who was a, national All-American, and poor Gary, he's famous for the 2011 Michigan game.
Let me read you the 2020 cornerback class. And this is per the On3 consensus, which equally weighs On3, 24/7 Rivals, and ESPN. Caleb Offord, 483 nationally, 38 corner. Ramon Henderson, 671 and 59 player at his position. Clarence Lewis, 729 nationally, 66 corner. Now, Clarence has obviously outplayed that ranking like I'm and Ramon Henderson too.
Sure.
Ramon Henderson's a really good player, I think. Lewis.
Look at Cam Hart's numbers. I think he was 800s.
And yeah, I mean, Cam Hart's exceeded expectations, but again, yes. not that big time guy. I mean, I think so far, I think Jaden Mickey might be Isaiah Rutherford, he didn't pan out. He was number 163 player.
Yes.
Cam Hart, 616.
Yep.
But all right, I'm sorry I interrupted you, Tim. You may continue while I keep looking.
No. Yeah, and one of the guys in college, Gary Gray. I think I said Gary. Well, the way he played against Michigan, he was Gary. Yeah. Definitely Gary Gray, who was a five-star, elite corner that came to Notre Dame. But that is the one position. Quarterback, they've had some elite 11 guys. Drew Pine was elite 11.
Buckner.
Malik Zaire. They had, Wimbush. I mean, Wimbush, people forget, was in the top 50 in the country. Highly, highly, recruited quarterback. Kaiser was a really good football player, obviously. So, it's been recently with Brendan Clark, who hasn't obviously panned out. You got, obviously Angeli with his low ranking when you're going ranking wise last year. Ian Book was a three-star. I know. And then obviously Ian Book, who they plucked away last second from Washington State. So yeah, they haven't gotten the elite, but they've had a fair share of really high end four stars.
So as I'm looking, what am I now on the 2016 class? Houston Griffith is listed as a corner. So he was a top 100 player, but I don't think he was even recruited as a corner?
He played a little early. He was more of a nickel.
Yeah, I'm not counting him.
No.
So part of this is an indictment on Notre Dame, and then a little bit on the recruiting star rankings. Dante Vaughn, 310. Troy Pride, 351. Julian Love, 427. Those, what's Dante Vaughn doing? Is he in the NFL? I don't remember what Dante
Vaughn's agent. I believe he's a career. I know he's been bouncing around as a free agent, so he's still getting a contract off.
Julian Love and Pride, I think, were just in South Bend for the Blue Gold game. I want to say I was interviewing Caleb Downs. I'll have the crack staff look this up. Caleb Downs was telling me that he talked to those two guys specifically. Where is it here in my article? Julian Love and Jalen Elliott. That's who he was talking to. But
Love is one of those low end prospects at Notre. I mean, he got developed at Notre Dame and played his tail off. He's a heck of a football player at Notre Dame. I think he got robbed his junior year when he didn't win the Jim Thorpe. And obviously, once he got out, the mess of the Clemson Final Four game just went away when Dante Vaughn couldn't cover those Clemson freaks Julian Love was playing his tail off before that.
All right, update. Unless I'm sorting by cornerback position. So unless On3 had a guy listed at safety and they're actually a corner, because I'm just kind of scrolling through this quickly. Sean Crawford, number 136 player nationally, 17 cornerback. Mm-hmm. That's better. And we're just looking at rankings. They're obviously not the be all end all, but this is troubling.
it was like that. The high end corner during the Kelly era, they did not go out and get a bunch of big time dude. They tried. Someone just wrote in the comments here. They had Ronald Darby, who's been in the NFL for a long time, decommit last second, went to Florida State. So, they were always on some guys, but
got Cole Luke, 128.
He was solid.
Devontae Neal, number 50 player nationally, number 2 cornerback.
But he was always a skill guy, a return guy. He came to Notre Dame to play slot, and then transferred very early to Arizona. Yeah, fast player. But when he came to Notre Dame, he was going to play offense.
He caught one pass, had one carry, returned 21 punts for 46 yards, 13 games, just one season at Notre Dame. So I guess there you have it. I want to keep going back, to be honest with you.
Oh, no, it's fascinating. I've done it. I actually have a whole list. I've gone back. You start going down the rabbit hole, and because I'm always thinking of, Lou, Samoji, you always just talk about the D-line. D-line's kind of correct. It's still not great. I mean, there's a couple classes. I know you know, Mike Ellison gets a lot of credit, and he does, but there are some classes that had some low-end project-type guys. And I think that's why they're trying to get five in this class this year to make up for some of those guys that, you know, haven't really panned, like Devin Apu transferred. Will Schweitzer is playing more linebacker now than DN, who is recruited. So obviously the interior, they just really haven't loaded up interior wise lately.
I don't know how we got on the defensive line. Did you say T. Shepherd earlier for a highly ranked guy? So here I'm looking at his on three page.
Yeah. He's been all over the place.
Yeah.
It's
did these guys not rank? Okay, so he was a 4-star at Rivals outside the
He was way higher than that. They must have taken – something must have happened. I mean, he was top
– He was 90 at I don't know. I mean,
that'll be interesting.
I'm not making this up. This is
– No, I hear you. I remember seeing that as well. But, you know, the old-timers out there, they all know –
ranking, so I don't know.
I mean, they know who T. Shepherd is. They know who T. – because when he committed out of Fred, that started the – we always get on the loose emoji, you know, board and – you know, everyone always talks about Fresno recruiting, and he was the one that started that Fresno roller coaster of Notre Dame going into Fresno during those early Brian Kelly years and striking out on everybody. And it seemed like every time there was a recruiting update on Blue and Gold, it would always be Fresno, and they just didn't get anybody out of there.
Man, I am
money they spent.
I knew cornerback recruiting wasn't great, but that was. That was a little troubling, I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's going now into obviously, you know, now you're going down the rabbit hole even this year. They got to get these Christian Gray. They lost Rhett. You know, it's like, what's the backup plans now? It's because they're going to, you know, that goes back to the class you just talked about. Tucker's, Riley Barnes. I thought they were outstanding in the spring game. Showed really good athleticism, really good football players, but they were – bottom of those rankings are so low. It's amazing how low they are.
Yeah. I think Benjamin Morrison, who Notre Dame signed the 2022 mm-hmm. class, I think he's got a chance to be pretty good. Jaden Mickey is already, he's a lot. I mean, Notre Dame signed him. Like, they think he's a really good player, but he's better than they thought, which is saying something. So this was
too good. You know, just real quick, I mean, those are two really good freshmen that are coming from two high-end high school football programs as well. So they're going to come to know, like Mickey, if they don't know, Corona Centennial, you know, is probably the top, easily in the top three public schools in all the state of California. And Corona Centennial, public schools. Yeah, I believe it, because the privates rule California, but when it comes to publics, Corona Centennial. You know, they're the last one to win the state title.
Brophy Prep, where Benjamin Morrison comes from in Arizona, they've been down a little bit recently. Yeah. But, you know, the number three team at per Max Preps was last year. It's Bergen Catholic, Notre Dame signed Jaden Bellamy, a corner that I'm corner DB, just call him a DB prospect. I'm really high on the Notre Dame sign. So talk about good high schools. All right, so this was not on the docket for today at all.
It's a fun conversation. Definitely.
No kid. So how did we even get here? Oh, talking about the
D-line classes. Yeah. Well, you asked about what's the position like that's hitting the D-line of the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And it's so, DB.
Yeah. So it's not D-line anymore. So I think I've got film for each guy popped up. Okay. Ready to roll. So YouTube audiences, this is going to be a treat for you guys. So we'll start with, and I want to go through each, and then we'll talk about Jason Moore at the end. Because, I mean, Notre Dame will play, let's just say they got a 4-man front. You know, where do each of these guys fit in? So we'll start with Keon Keeley. I mean, this one's got to be pretty easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like Javon Curse already, right? Tall, lean,
he's a viper,
athletic, viper playing that, you know, basically the rush end, the weak side edge rusher. He's look at that. Yeah. He's everything, you know, and, if go on YouTube, wherever you do it. And just watch his game against Arch Manning's team, Cardinal Newman last year, where he's a man child out there. So, and, you know what? People forget he was not even ranked, you know, right, going into his junior year. He's one of those risers. All of a sudden, people started to get film on him and like, who is this guy? And he has really blown up here those last, 15 months or so. And outstanding football player. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to be needed early at Notre Dame because obviously you lose, you know, Adamiola and Isaiah Foskey, their two main rush ends. So instant playing time is going to be needed at that position.
Hey, he's perfect for Notre Dame. Cool. I remember when Notre Dame offered him for Pot of Gold Day last year, St. Patrick's Day, and he's such a nice, polite kid and, you know, comes from a great family, a great program, you know, in high school. I mean, it's just a great fit. So I feel pretty
good. Yeah, let him roam. No, I was going to say, just let him roam, especially as a freshman. Let him go out there kind of like what Aaron Lynch did back in 2011, where they just played him a ton and just make mistakes, but play, get it. And just his if he plays with the motor like this, which obviously we're all expecting, and that's the level he wants to get at, Keon does. So I would expect him to just be, you know, a maniac out there immediately. Not that he's going to be an All-American as a freshman, but just to play his tail off. Because it's right there for him, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a guy who kind of gets forgotten about a little bit is Brennan Vernon. He's not much of a social media guy. I think the last camp he went to is film we're going to watch here in a moment when I got to see him last spring. I mean, I think on Huddle there's like – he's got like maybe a minute – 45 seconds of his junior season on Huddle. I mean, he keeps to himself. But I'll tell you what he does love, and it's Notre Dame. I mean, everyone and their brother thought he was going to Ohio State, and I just kept hearing like, I don't think so. Like, he really likes Notre Dame, and I don't think he's a great, you know, I don't think like Ohio State's for him. It's not for everybody. I just would not forget about this kid because I think he's going to be a big-time player for Notre Dame. And you got to remember, this film here is before his junior year. So this is, you know, him as a sophomore.
Yeah, I think, I know you've said it best in a couple of videos. Every time, every time he shows up on a picture or visits Notre Dame, he's gained 5 pounds. So he's, he just keeps getting larger and larger, and it's just going to be another one of those high motor, high energy guys. It's all these hybrids, starting really with him. Keon's a true edge, weak side guy. The rest of these guys could play anywhere along the line. It's really going to be how big are they? Where do they fit best? Are they a B gap player, an A gap player, a C gap player? You know, are they going to play on the tight end versus some of these teams? So, and you know, it's funny you mentioned his, you know, Twitter and Instagram or whatever. He's kind of like this year's Joey Tonono, right? I mean, Joey, everyone forgot about until he signed. They're like, oh yeah, well, wow, we have Joey. Let's go watch his film. Same with Vernon. You know, he committed so long ago. He's kind of like the forgotten guy yet. He's a dude. He's a high end dude. If he was not committed now, you would see updates on him every 24 hours.
No, you wouldn't.
Schools would be on him.
Oh yeah, schools would be on him.
I mean, if he was not committed as of yet, he would not be blowing up, but the schools would be blowing up his
high school. Okay.
Yeah. But he's happy. He got Notre Dame. He committed really early, which is, as you know, was a big shock, I think, to the nation. And he stuck to it. He's not talking to anybody. He's Notre Dame. How many times has he been on campus? It seems like 10 times. You know, it's like who's been there more? Him or Drake Bowen? Yeah, I think they're arm wrestling to see who gets to Notre Dame more often.
It's definitely Bowen, but
okay.
Yeah, Vernon gets to South Bend as much as he can. So yeah. I mean, this is, you know, I got the opportunity to spend some time with him last fall, and that was my second time interviewing him, and I haven't been able to talk to him since, and he keeps to himself, and I respect that. And I had such a fun time talking to him, and did a really cool story for Blue and Gold in our magazine on Brennan Vernon about like how he and Marcus Freeman bonded over Vans shoes. Nice. And how Marcus Freeman bought the whole coaching staff a pair of Vans to wear when Brennan Vernon visited campus. Like just really, really cool stuff. Yeah. So Brendan Vernon,
That's recruiting. That's recruiting there, Mike. When you wrote that story, now that's recruiting. Find out what the guy you want likes. Show him a little bit of love. It goes a long way. And that was pretty awesome, that picture. And all those guys in bands.
So that film we just watched, that's Vernon probably at like 250. Now he's up to like 280, 285. I mean, you think he's I personally don't see strong side end in his future. I think he's a three technique. And am I crazy to say he could be? I mean, if he gets like the 295, what was Kurt Heinisch? Like 300 pounds?
Yeah, 300 pounds. With that gut, he had to be about 300 on the head. Perfect
so Heinisch is about 6'1", 6'2". Vernon, 6'5". But so if he gets up to like 300 or 295, 300, like, and he's a lean, powerful, I mean, I think he could, be three tech and then slide into one at times and pass rushing downs and just be a freaking beast.
I agree. That's why, we've talked where there are a bunch of these guys. It's going to just be like, where do they fit? What is the best for them? Because they're all elite football players, and you got to find their best position. Kind of like, what hands in the ground do they like best? Left, right, whatever it is. And find that spot for these guys. And because they're going to be needed early. They really are going to be needed early.
Yeah.
Not as starters, but depth and get some minutes early as freshmen.
Yeah. I remember talking to a source close to Notre Dame football program after Vernon camped at Notre Dame for Irish Invasion. Didn't need to. He just wanted to work out with Coach Elston. And, my sources were like, yeah, this kid's a first-round pick. Like Notre Dame folks absolutely loved him. And I wouldn't be surprised if Vernon wants to go camp again at Notre Dame this summer just so he can work out with Coach Washington. Like, he's that kind of kid. So pretty awesome. All right, moving along, Boubacar Traore from Catholic Memorial. You're going to have to go watch him play.
Most definitely. Great high school. Great schedule that they play. Really good football league that he's in.
So we'll watch some of his tape here. Boubacar Traore, not a ton on him. It's a mix of junior and sophomore tape. But, we've talked about him and Devin Houston a good bit here recently with their commitments. But, another big-time guy, Tim.
You know what? He is he is the prototypical, just true strong side end. I mean, he's like an old-school guy versus a tight end where you play – inside eye on the tight end, the seven tech, and just you're playing inside the tight end and reading that offensive tackle, playing that C gap. He fits that mold. You don't see a lot of tight ends these days. They're mostly hip and motion wing type guys, but he's a perfect wide side DN with that length, change of direction he has, great motor. And, the best thing, I've talked about him is just the way he strikes. He's so well coached at high school. He just strikes with his hands, and it's already in his bloodlines to do that. So when he comes to Notre Dame, it's not going to be an issue teaching guys to play with hands, shaking off guys. He's the perfect C-gap football player. He's got a lot of nice abilities. His tight end film as well. There's some full games on YouTube I've watched, and he plays a lot of tight end. That guy could block as well.
Yeah, Tim's got enough. Tim, I don't know how you are watching full games of high school players. I don't even have time for that. And you got a new.
I'm not watching the whole thing and commercials and all that. You fast forward to watch him play. I'm not worried about what the other guys are doing. Just sit there and break him down. And plus his high school. Who's his right tackle?
Gerby Lambert.
Exactly, one of the premier offensive tackles. Exactly. So that's what really got me excited was to watch some of him as well. So good football player. But he's another one of those guys. He's definitely a top 100 football player. He's a high-end defensive lineman.
And then Notre Dame's most recent commitment here, Devin Houston. He's from Canada, plays his high school ball at St. James School in Hagerstown, Maryland. This past August, he enrolled at St. James School. This is his first year playing American football. And had a pretty good showing. It's a pretty good get here for Notre Dame, beating out old Mike Elston in Michigan.
Yeah, and you know, and a young guy when it comes to playing. So he's still a raw piece of clay to get molded and developed into, you know, whatever it is down the road, which, you know, my thing is, you know, just his size. He's already got big shoulders and, you know, big thick legs already to be that, hold some extra weight and be a, I mean, there's no reason why this guy's not a 300-pound interior football player, an A-gap, B-gap player. You know, everyone wants to play DN. Everybody does. That's, doesn't matter if you're coaching Pop Warner, 8-year-olds, they all want to be the speed rusher. But, yeah, this guy wants to be an All-American, make some money down the road in the NFL. He's definitely an inside guy, you know, when you look at him. You know, and you put these four together, you're looking at some dudes in high school that, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson D-line a few years ago. Obviously, this year they're going to be stacked as well. That these are the lines that they've put together where a bunch of highly ranked guys come together and play their tails off and sacrifice for each other, which the Mannings talked about in that little video we showed earlier. Guys doing things for the betterment of the team, which helps them out in the long run. And Houston, you know, Bubakar, these are some unbelievable guys. I think could play multiple positions.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will pull up Tim's. I mean, Tim, you have a lot of favorite players in the class. I will say that. You know, whether it's Abshur,
I love Abshur,
Freeling, Okunlola, Jason Moore is one of them.
Yeah, he's my top three. He really is. I just, you know, when it comes to needs, because I just think, number one, he's coming from DeMatha Catholic, and I think that is awesome to go in there and get a player from there. It's been a long, long time, since they've got a player from DeMatha Catholic. You know, my wife went to Notre Dame. She went to, you know, John Day Owens is from there. She was good friends with him during, who was a tight end for Notre Dame back then. But he's another one of these guys. It's like, where is he going to fit in? And I think it's anywhere he wants. I really do. It's five tech. Can you move him inside? He's, you know, I know he's always getting the Khalid Kareem, Isaac Rochelle. He's better than those guys when they came to Notre Dame. Obviously, they're in the NFL, and you know, Rochelle's still moving around, and Kareem's playing as well. But he is everything. I mean, there's another strong side end. You know, if they do a four-man nickel front, is it, you know, Keeley and Moore as the two bookends, which would be unbelievable. He reminds me, you know, when I watch him, he reminds me of the old school Nebraska, you know, with Grant Wistrom and Tomich and those guys, and the great Florida State that just had an All-American DN every year. He just looks like those guys that played in the 90s and the early 2000s at Florida State, where long, lean, and all about get off, play with your hands, and an attitude. So he's in my top three of total football players I would love to see Notre Dame sign this year.
So Notre Dame's got those four commitments. We're assuming they hold on to all of them, Keeley, Vernon, Houston, and Traore. And it's like, man, that quartet is fantastic. If they add Jason Moore,
yeah,
I mean, he's so good that I could listen to an argument that, like, is he the best of this group? You know, like, yeah. they all have similarities, especially, you know, the four that does not include Keeley, because they all have these, you know, they can play inside, outside, they can kind of do all these different things, but like, so it can be tough to compare apples with oranges a little bit, because they are, do have some, you know, differences. But I mean, pound for pound, Jason Moore, I mean, yeah, he's, I mean, that, my point is, you have arguably Notre Dame's best defensive line class in 30 years, and then you could add the cherry on top being the best. I mean, that's my point here, which is crazy.
Yes.
So
that gives you that. I mean, that gives you, if he comes, I know, you know, is he coming for the big June weekend? Do you know yet? Is that official? It is. Okay. So there you go. He's going to be for, what is that, 9th, 10th, whatever that weekend is, where they got, you know, everyone coming in. Correct. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. And that's the big showcase. I know he wasn't able to get there during, you know, the spring and whatnot. And he's just super talented. Is he a C-gap player? Is he, you know, there's so many things you could do with this guy, and allows Al Golden, who's been in the NFL for a long time, picking brains and seeing what works. You start taking these guys, and I've heard Golden and especially Marcus Freeman talking about where, It sounds like their defense, they're not really going to be just a 4-3, a 4-2, whatever it is. It's a situational D. They're going to focus on situations, analytics, and they're going to really get into those type of players. They could play all over the place. And I love Jason Moore, and knock on wood, he comes, because that, yeah, you're right. That'd be the cherry on top, because he's elite. He's an elite football player.
Well, I apologize, folks, for kind of just abruptly ending the show, but I promised Tim to get him out. It's 6:50 Eastern time. My clock right. Just shows that it turns. So we're going to sign off now. I do appreciate you guys hanging out with us live on YouTube. Appreciate you guys watching back, listening on podcast. Make sure you go to blueandgold.com, $1 for 1 year premium access. I think next Wednesday I'm going to be at a high school game, a spring game here in the Atlanta area. So, Tim, we won't have a live show next Wednesday, but Twitter Space Thursday. I'm also going to hope to get it on podcast version as well. I wanted to last week, but wasn't able to. It's a pain in the butt to be able to get the audio. So I'm going to plan on hoping to publish the Thursday Twitter Space on our podcast feed so you guys can listen to that. But yeah, Blue and Gold, $1 for 1 year. Catch you next time, guys.